neither did you. I'm sure you've probably heard the tragic news.
I did, yeah.
Could I ask your name and hometown?
Tom Johnson, Lexington, Kentucky.
When and where did you get the tragic news, Mr. Johnson?
Over at a place I'm working, filmmakers, Drew Associates.
How did you get the news?
Just over the radio.
What happened then? Were there many people in your office when the radio announcement came?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, they were pretty moved by it. I don't know, I'd agree with what he said. I think just about everybody, whether Republican or Democrat, is going to be pretty hurt by this. The only thing about it is, though, that it seems that the thing that did kill him was the sort of extremist, radical right-wing thing that we've been hearing so much about. And it's gotten to the point where people with this sort of extremism just lose all sense of what another person is. And they're bound to destroy him. That's what killed him.
Thank you very much, sir. Sir, I'm sure you've heard the tragic news by now. Could I ask your name and hometown, sir?
Albert Feinberg, New York City.
When and where did you get the news, Mr. Feinberg?
In my office, and someone said over the radio that the president had been shot. And in a little while, the news came over that he was dead.
What kind of office do you have, sir?
I'm a CPA.
And what happened then when this news broke?
Everybody was stunned. The work ceased immediately, and no one could express themselves. It was something that was hard to believe under the circumstances.
Who else, sir, would you care to comment on what happened today?
Well, my reaction, I think, is like everyone else. I just shattered and stunned by the incident. I first heard about it when I was walking, making a phone call, and the party on the other end said he had a rush from the phone. He just heard a flash that the president had been shot.
At that very moment, what was your
complete disbelief? Because it just didn't ring true. I couldn't conceive of it. And was subsequently confirmed about a few minutes later about the actual shooting. And then came over the line around 2:30 that he had died.
That's what some of the people at Grand Central Station were saying, Don, here in New York City.
Thanks, Stu Klein. Dr. Malcolm Perry, the attendant surgeon at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, attended President Kennedy. He said when he arrived at the emergency room, he noticed that the president was in critical condition, that he had a wound in the neck and in the head. When asked if the wounds could have been made by two bullets, Dr. Perry said he did not know. He said that immediate resumptive measures were taken. Dr. Kemp Clark, the chief of neurosurgery, was called along with several other members of the staff to the emergency room. They arrived immediately. But Dr. Perry said at this point, the president's condition was critical, very serious. An operation was performed to assist the president's breathing. The doctor said that an oxygen machine was used, blood and fluid also administered. An electrocardiograph attached to the body to record the heartbeat. When asked to specify about the wound in the president, Dr. Perry said that the bullet had entered the front of the head. Andrews Air Force Base says they understand that the president's body will be flown back to Washington this afternoon. It's also possible that Vice President Johnson will be sworn in as President of the United States aboard an airliner. As he comes back to Washington, the Vice President has left the hospital in company with Mrs. Johnson. They are both all right. ABC's Bob Clark is heading for the airport. This late word, just in from Dallas, Lyndon Johnson has been sworn in as President of the United States. It was just a few minutes ago. The oath administered by a U.S. District Judge, Sarah Hughes. Lyndon Johnson has been sworn in as President of the United States. Let's pause 5 seconds for station identification. The new President of the United States, Lyndon Johnson, sworn in minutes ago at the airport in Dallas, Texas. He's heading back to Washington as soon as the plane can take off. The president's body also being returned this afternoon from Dallas, Texas. Late word from Dallas that a policeman shot and killed while chasing a suspected assassin. He was chasing the suspected assassin through a movie theater in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. He met his death as he and a fellow officer ran into a rear exit of the theater while following a tip that a man who might be the assassin was inside. The other officer rushed the suspect. The man yelled, "It's all over now." The officer grabbed him. The two fell struggling into a seat in the theater. He made the arrest. They did find a pistol on him, which apparently he'd used to kill the Dallas policeman. Chief Justice Earl Warren says he is stunned and shocked at the president's assassination. It was Chief Justice Earl Warren who swore in Mr. Kennedy as chief executive. Former President Dwight Eisenhower calls the assassination of the president a despicable act. Former president said in New York just a little while ago, "I share the sense of shock and dismay that all Americans feel at this despicable act that resulted in the death of our nation's president. Mrs. Eisenhower and I also join with all other citizens in expressing our personal grief and prayerful concern to Mrs. Kennedy and all other members of the family." Let us go back once again to Washington to hear some more from some of the president's old Senate colleagues. First, you'll hear from Senator Harry Byrd of Virginia. Then, after a pause, Senator Richard Russell of Georgia. We take you now to ABC Washington.
The assassination of President Kennedy has shocked this nation and the free world. I cannot find words to express my feelings of my deep sorrow, and I send my sympathy to the members of the family.
The news of this dastardly crime has shocked and stunned the American people, indeed the people of the entire free world. The assassin's bullet has removed from the most vital station on earth a brilliant and dedicated young statesman at the very height of his powers. My personal relations with the president, both in the Congress and since he was elevated to the office of chief magistrate, have always been cordial, and I feel a deep sense of personal loss. The heart of the entire world goes out to Mrs. Kennedy and to all of the members of his family in this hour. That's Kennedy family, one of the most remarkable families on earth, and all of us can but sympathize with them in this very tragic hour.
Senator Richard Russell of Georgia speaking just then, and before Senator Russell, the Democratic senator from Virginia, Harry Byrd. Lyndon Johnson sworn in as President of the United States just a few minutes ago at 1:38 p.m. Central Standard Time. The oath administered by a U.S. District Judge, Sarah T. Hughes. Mr. Johnson took the oath aboard the presidential plane at Dallas Love Field while the plane was still on the ground. Mr. Johnson preparing to fly immediately to Washington to take over the reins of government. Mr. Johnson becomes the 37th president of the United States. This, the presidential oath. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will do the best of my ability, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Those words, repeated by Lyndon Johnson, swearing him in, as President of the United States, the 37th President of the United States, as Mr. Johnson stood aboard the presidential plane at the Dallas Love Airport, the oath of office sworn to him by a district judge, Sarah Hughes. From a member of the religious community, an observation to ABC by Cardinal McIntyre of Los Angeles.
This is Cardinal McIntyre of Los Angeles speaking from the North American College of Rome. I am here in company with Cardinal Ritter of St. Louis, and during dinner we received this astounding and shocking news of the death of our beloved president. Our hearts have grieved deeply, and we have called together the student body of the American College to join with them in prayer for the repose of his soul, and we are asking our Blessed Mother to comfort and console his beloved wife and family.
Observations by Cardinal McIntyre, the Los Angeles Cardinal, now attending the Ecumenical Council in Rome. Now, let us hear from Dallas, Texas, and the airport where Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, was sworn in as president, ABC's Bob Clark in Dallas.
Lyndon Johnson took the oath of office as president of the United States just a few minutes ago here at Love Airfield in Dallas. The swearing-in ceremony was aboard Air Force One, the presidential jet aircraft on which Mr. Kennedy began the tragic journey from Washington that ended today in his assassination. The ceremony was attended by a score of persons who were aboard the plane. It took place in the forward compartment of the presidential suite at 2:39 Central Standard Time. Mrs. Kennedy was present, and so was Mrs. Johnson, Linda Bird Johnson, now the First Lady of the land. The two wives asked as many of the persons who were aboard the plane, this included some close members of Mr. Kennedy's staff, as well as staff members of the aircraft, asked as many as could to crowd into the small compartment for the historic ceremony. There was a brief delay as two of Mr. Kennedy's closest aides conferred and apparently got a final go-ahead by telephone, perhaps waiting for precise times from Washington. Then Kenneth O'Donnell, who has been one of Mr. Kennedy's closest aides, conferred briefly with Larry O'Brien, another ranking White House aide, and the swearing-in ceremony began. Mr. Johnson was sworn in by Federal District Judge Sarah T. Hughes, a 67-year-old jurist who was appointed to her office by Mr. Kennedy. A small pool of newsmen who were present observed some of the details from an adjoining compartment. They said the judge was crying as she administered the oath. Mr. Kennedy's casket is believed to be aboard Air Force One at this moment. Apparently, will be flown directly back to Washington. This is the oath that Lyndon Johnson, the new president of the United States, took. I do solemnly swear that I will perform the duties of the President of the United States to the best of my abilities and defend, protect, and preserve the Constitution of the United States. With those words, Lyndon Johnson became the new president. This is Bob Clark at Love Airfield in Dallas, where Lyndon Johnson has just taken the oath of office as president.
An information received from the White House, they have called the news media, all representatives of the news media, to the White House. ABC's Irv Chapman will be attending that meeting. Undoubtedly, it will outline some of the details concerning the respects that the nation will pay to the president as he lies in state. And now, for some more information concerning that, here is Irv Chapman. We switch to ABC Washington.
Here at the White House, it has just been officially announced. Word from Dallas, Lyndon B. Johnson was sworn in at 2:38 p.m. Central Standard Time as the President of the United States. He is on board a plane that took off 9 minutes later en route to Washington. He took the oath from U.S. District Judge Sarah T. Hughes. This announcement was made moments ago at a press conference called by presidential aide Paul Southwick here at the White House. Hubert Humphrey, the deputy Democratic leader of the Senate, emerged into the White House lobby a few moments ago looking as stunned and somber as is everyone else here. Senator Humphrey and presidential assistant Ralph Dungan had been attending a luncheon at the Chilean embassy a few blocks away when we heard the senator told us the terrible and tragic news. Senator Humphrey then said, "It's incredible that a terrible thing like this would happen in our country where people are supposed to be respectful of law and of person." Then Senator Humphrey returned to the executive offices, and there, presidential aides are at their desks, notably George Bundy and Theodore Sorensen. The late president's brother, Senator Edward Kennedy, and his sister, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, left here by helicopter a short while ago for Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington. Reporters and staff members continue to mill about the White House lobby and the driveway. Across Pennsylvania Avenue, we can see hundreds of people gathering in Lafayette Square. Their number is expected to grow as darkness falls and government employees leave work at nearby buildings of the executive branch. Irv Chapman, ABC, the White House.
At this point in the seriousness of the day, may I repeat the bare details of the ugly story. President John F. Kennedy is dead, the victim of an assassin's bullet in Dallas, Texas. Governor John Connally of Texas, who was riding with the president, also was shot. He has undergone surgery for a bullet wound in the chest. We have no further information from the Dallas hospital on Texas Governor Connally. Lyndon Johnson is the new president of the United States, sworn in about 20 minutes ago while standing aboard the president's official plane at the Dallas airport. Lyndon Johnson, the 37th president of the United States. He was not hurt in the assassination attempt. Mrs. Kennedy was not hurt, and Mrs. Connally, also in the car where the president was assassinated, was not hurt. A short time after the assassination, Dallas police arrested a man in connection with the shooting of a policeman, and the man is being questioned to see if he had anything to do with the slaying of the president. There had been a report that someone had tipped the police that a man in a movie theater had something to do with it. The police in Dallas did locate a foreign-made rifle on the fifth floor of a building near where the president was assassinated. It had one good cartridge left in it. Three spent shells were on the floor. Three bullets crashed into the presidential limousine. What are other people thinking from other parts of the nation? Reaction is almost that of disbelief. As one senator put it, it is incredible that something like this could happen in our country. Now, for what some other governmental and religious leaders are saying around the nation, we switch to ABC's Joel Krager.
Drop it.
The president is dead. John F. Kennedy cut down by a sniper's bullet today in Dallas, Texas. Pronounced dead within an hour. And the world is in mourning. First reactions were ones of shock, of disbelief, and of utter sorrow. Here in New York City, the sorrowful signal 5555 was transmitted on fire department wavelengths. The signal denoting the death of one of the firefighters, or of someone dear to their hearts.
The signal 5555 has been transmitted. It is with deep regret that announcement is made of the assassination of our beloved President John F. Kennedy. The officers and members of this department and their families join the people of the world in extending heartfelt prayers to Almighty God and profound sympathy to his family. all flags shall be displayed at half mast for a period of 30 days. Signed, Edward Thompson, Fire Commissioner, and Edward P. McInniff, Chief of Department.
The voice of the Fire Department of New York City. At the United Nations, a solemn Secretary General Utant went before the General Assembly and addressed the delegates in these words.
Mr. President, as Secretary General of the United Nations, I would like to express profound sorrow at this most tragic event and to be associated in the condolences to Mrs. Kennedy, to the members of the bereaved family, and to the government and people of the United States.
I request members of the General Assembly to rise and observe 1 minute of silence in tribute to the memory of President Kennedy.
While official United Nations delegations were only moments behind the tragic developments, the average man in the street was rather bewildered by the fast-breaking news.